You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Breeze Smith. Breeze, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. I'm honored.
Breeze, what is it that you're working on now so we can get right into your work and have the listeners understand a little more about what's happening?
Well, as the fact that I cross over, I'm a musician playing drums and percussion, but I'm also a visual artist, and I've created some of my own instruments. So depending on who I'm working with, at the moment I'm working with several different groups, and so I might be playing eclectic percussion, I might be playing drum set, I might be playing combinations of those things. But the group that I'm working with currently that I would say that I'm the most excited about is a group that's called Cosmic Vibrations. It's quite an eclectic group of musicians. Some of you may know some of them, but rather than to go into who they are, my role in this particular ensemble is that I'm playing primarily drum set, but I also use electronics within the drum set, and something is called application. And by application, I mean placing objects, other percussion objects, on top of a drum set, something that I've developed after living in Europe for a while and meeting. I lived in Denmark for some time, and that's actually my second language, is Danish. And while I was there, I had the wonderful opportunity to work with musicians from Turkey, from Egypt, from Morocco, and of course from Denmark. And what I learned from them was the wonderful world of percussion that has excited me for many years. So at one point I was bringing way too many instruments to a performance, and what I learned is that by adding, or what I was saying is application, for example, a thin gong that could fit on top of a 14-inch floor tom, it becomes an entirely different instrument. And I can make it sound like other instruments that some people might recognize from around the world. So in the Cosmic Vibrations ensemble, I'm playing drum set with application, and I'm also using electronics. I use a looping device, looping meaning it's a way of repeating a sound. So I do it live. I don't have any pre-recorded sounds, so I use a small microphone. And it's something that I learned from young age, that there are overtones from cymbals and gongs that most people don't hear unless you are the player and you can hear them up close. But when you're really close to them, in other words, your ear actually close to the edge of a cymbal or a gong, there are these amazing overtones and undertones that happen. So what I do is I capture those in the looping device, and it creates sort of a soundscape, if I could say it that way. And that goes, it's an ongoing. And so I then put that into another looping device where I can actually manipulate the sound, lower the pitch, changing it in speed. And then we, as we're improvising musicians, we play on top of this. So then we create grooves and different melodic phrases that will work with that. So that's what I've been doing more currently is with this group, Cosmic Vibrations.
And let's talk a little bit about your visual art, too. And we could talk more about the music, because part of what I'm interested in is how you're putting things. I mean, you talked about the live looping experience, but you're also, as you say, placing things on top of the drums, creating sounds that the drum kits or drums on their own weren't intended to create. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I designed an instrument. I'm also, as I say, a visual artist. I've been involved with many of the different mediums, welding, woodworking, working with stone, and many other things. So In the late 90s, I had a dream about an instrument, and it just so happened at that point I was commissioned to do a large sound sculpture. And so after the dream, I went back into the studio, and I was finishing up this sculpture, and as I was just about to clean things up, I noticed these shapes of pieces that were on the floor, and they looked so similar to the instrument that was in my dream. So I turned the welder back on, and I started welding this back together. And what I created is it's an instrument that's made entirely of aluminum, and it's about 4 feet in width and approximately 4 feet in height, and it has a tube that is joined underneath by rings of aluminum, just a quarter inch rings of aluminum that can, in this way, with the other aluminum rods that come up from the instrument, I can actually use that on my drum set, and it's an extension of the vibration of the instrument, has an overall sound of its own, but by using the rings, it then is projected into a drum. So it's like a secondary vibration of the same instrument. So those are the kinds of things that I'm doing in the application process. Sometimes in this case, like this is a very unusual, something an audience would probably not recognize as anything musical, but it has quite an amazing sound, and I can use it with mallets and with a violin bow. It has sort of a singing approach to it. So
it's fascinating. And what's happening with these? You're doing different recordings of them. How does the music get distributed?
It's a various process. It is recorded. And oftentimes I've come up as a request to play with different ensembles or in solo duo situations for live performance, but also to come in to do recordings. I have not done as many film soundtracks as I would like to have done. I do have several, but that's something that I find intriguing because of the fact that I have crossed over so often through my life of the visual and the audio, and I find them to be very much a marriage of creativity.
I want to talk to you more about your visual work, but first let's cue up something from your solo project so people get a taste of what you're doing. Before we play this track, can you tell me what it is that we're about to hear from your solo project?
Well, so the solo project that I am referring to, it's the title is Sight Sounding Backdrops Plus 8. It's a series of solo pieces that I've done where, in the same idea of live looping, that I'm able to incorporate a lot of my own instruments as well as, I don't want to say my own instruments, that I've created, but as well instruments that I've collected over the years as a percussionist. So that's what I would just have to title this as, Sight Sounding Backdrops Plus 8.
Thank you.
That was great, Breeze. Thanks for playing that. Tell me a little bit about what are we hearing there? What did we just hear from that first project?
You're hearing sounds that have influenced me over the years, the sounds of nature, which I've found ways to incorporate that into my playing, into the instruments that I have. So these instruments have the capability of creating counter harmonies through percussion, but with a pulse. Those are the things that excite me, that inspire me. So I'm actually able to inspire myself through some of the things that I've been doing and have had the honor to do, to perform, not only on my own, but with others. So these are instruments and recordings of some of them recording birds and rain and then looping that, using that as another part of or base of what I've been doing and then adding my own instruments and percussion on top of that.
I love that, and I'm glad we were able to hear that. If anybody listening wants to listen to more of your music, is it possible to buy or download or listen to somewhere?
There are many.
There'll be links in here to those, but is that like Bandcamp and a number of things like that they'll have links to in this interview?
Precisely, as well as the YouTube pages that incorporate a lot of live performance as well as recorded performances that I've done.
And to move on to your visual artwork, because I know you're also a visual artist, sculptor, can you tell me a little bit about that and how that gets out into the world and what you're making there at the moment?
At this point, I'm compiling more sculpture pieces. I've been trying to work outside. I've always been interested in kinetic sculpture. I find that to be fascinating, and there's so many artists around the planet that are doing these kinds of things, and it's so exciting to have a piece of art that can create sound simply by it being in an area where there can be wind, there can be rain, all sorts of things can happen. And so that's what I'm doing now, is I'm working on more kinetic sculptures that would incorporate mostly metals, but I love also incorporating other pieces. So oftentimes I'm actually, as I'm walking around, I look for objects that could be incorporated, be it even a limb from a tree or small bits of tiny seeds, all sorts of things that I can bring in together and make that possible for an object that can create sound. I also like to have access to other objects which I will bring and leave even outside with a sculpture like that, sticks or whatever is possible for someone to pick up and play the instrument, as well as allowing it to be connected to nature.
I like that so much. So they're meant to be used, to be played with.
Yes, precisely.
And so how do you have shows of these, or do you have exhibits of those? How do those get out into the world so people can play with them or own them?
Commissions has been the strongest journey for me. I've been commissioned to do several sound sculptures that are in different places, privately owned. I've done some visual exhibits with earlier works, which are more improvised pieces that work with a marbling technique, painting technique from the 1700s, maybe even earlier, that they did a marbling technique. Marbling technique is where you're combining mediums, if no one knows what that is. It's where you would take a water-based material like paints and mixing them with enameled or lacquer-based mediums, also paints or even inks, and then working them together, allowing them to try to interact. And the fusion between them is absolutely fascinating. It can create other images, which I oftentimes will go back and detail. So I did an exhibit in Copenhagen that was quite a successful one. It was only one piece that didn't sell, which my nephew owns that. He lives in New Mexico, and I didn't even know that he had that until just recently. So it was kind of enjoyable to be re-inspired by something that I did that came across the water from Denmark.
That's fascinating. And so the commissions, do those come through galleries, or are these just people you know now? How do those commissions come about? They sound like, people who are really very interested and dedicated to what you're doing.
Sometimes it's from people who have discovered me through playing live. I've also done performances at universities. The university seems to be the biggest connect for me. And in fact, all of the people that own commissioned sculptures from me are professors at various universities. So I will do that. I have done performances strictly on my own instruments with universities that are interested in other sound sources aside from just the conventional instruments that we know of on the planet today. So that has been a wonderful outlet for me to be able to connect with people who are interested in having me create something new that they could enjoy for the rest of their life and maybe even pass it on within their family.
I like that. And besides those, are you only doing that, or are you also teaching or doing other kinds of work?
Well, I've been working with live theater, playing various instruments and doing that live in the theater setting. And then I'm also involved with doing sound-guided meditations, where I use a lot of gongs and objects that I can, in fact, in the sound-guided meditations, I will also incorporate the looping and just make a nice subtle sound bath for the participants that are there to enjoy and to relax, find another outlet through sound.
I like that so much. And before we go, I want to ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading now? It could be anything, off topic or not.
Well, it's a book that is kind of, it stays with me most of the time. It travels with me when I'm traveling, and I carry it with me even if I'm off out walking about. And it's Myths to Live by Joseph Campbell. Interestingly enough, I found recently from a good friend of mine who I've been performing with. In fact, he's one of the other percussionists with Cosmic Vibrations. His name is Christopher Garcia, incredibly knowledgeable soul and fine musician. And he told me that Joseph Campbell actually played an instrument with John Cage. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. That's fascinating. Well, Breeze, I want to thank you for being with me today. It's really been a pleasure talking about your work.
Oh, thank you. It's quite an honor, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.